Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. So sometimes God uses unlikely things and even animals to show us about who He is. We're going to talk today about how God uses our dog to show us things about His character. Excited for comedian and author Phil Calloway to join me first hour. We're going to have a good laugh. And it's funny because I asked the question on Facebook, what lessons have your dog taught you about life? And I mean, an hour later, there was 47 answers there. So I'm thinking about my pit bull Memphis. What have I learned from him? Well, that an underbite can be cute. Well, it doesn't matter if you're 67 pounds of sheer muscle. If you think you're a lap dog, you're a lap dog. Let's see here. If you had to go outside to go to the bathroom in the winter, you'd ask for a treat too. And let's see, loyalty and faithfulness and unconditional love are non-negotiable. I love my pit bull. What have you learned from your dog? I'd love to know. 877-933-2484. This is off the beaten track a little bit for us on Live the Promise, but we love it, and we love Phil Calloway. We're going to have a good laugh today and just enjoy some conversation, really, about how God gives us all good things to enjoy, including our pets. And second hour, Ryan Williams will join us in studio. He's a worship leader at River Valley Church, and we're going to play some worship songs. He's going to sing some live, and we're going to really enjoy some time just worshiping God, enjoying His presence, and talking about His faithfulness. So let me tell you about my first hour guest, and we'll get him on the show. Phil Calloway is an award-winning author, speaker, and daddy of three, the best-selling author of 25 books. He's been called the funniest Canadian alive, but never by his school teachers. His daily radio show, Laugh Again, airs across North America, the UK, and Africa. He insists that his greatest achievement was convincing his wife to marry him. I love that. Phil lives in Canada with his high school sweetheart, who usually finds him funny. You can find his influencer page at our website at myfaithradio.com. Phil, welcome back to the show.
So good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Love chatting with you, Phil. So tell me this. Is there a verse that God's been speaking about these days that you can share with us?
Psalm 126:2, I absolutely love, because it talks about what happened when God freed the captives. And it says this, it says, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And I think that can be all of our stories, even by the end of this hour, to have laughed a little bit, but also just to realize that God has done great things, and our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, they should see that in our lives, I think.
Indeed, indeed. I've referenced this video several times in the last few weeks because it impacted me so deeply, but we had a group, they're international sensations now, Rent Collective, and they're Irish men and women, and just wonderful, wonderful group, but they did this DVD on the art of celebration. It's a 7-minute DVD with some music and just some teaching on the discipline of joy. And one of the things that the lead guy said was, we have learned, and it's theologically been a breakthrough for us, that seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. And we've got to wrestle for our blessing. And you're no stranger to having to wrestle for the blessing and to really embrace joy even when it's hard. If you wouldn't mind, just talk about what you've learned in that regard. That it, you know, joy isn't the surface happiness that we're talking about. It's something much deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, people often ask me how I got into comedy. And I had to think about that for a while because I had no idea. And started to realize, now I didn't have to go into counseling for it or anything. But, you know, when my wife has laughed at me for years. Just the other day, Susie, you'll enjoy this. I put my arm around her. I looked down at her and I said, honey, I have something to tell you. And she kind of looked up at me as if I was going to say something really odd, which I did, I guess. I said, better to have loved a short girl than never to have loved a tall. And she started laughing. But, you know, since I was a little kid of about 4, because my first memory, if I had to answer the question, what was your first memory? I would say trying to cheer my mother up. My mom was severely depressed, and in those days it wasn't something you talked about. And so I would go into her bedroom during the day when I was just a little kid, and I found out that if I could make her laugh, everything changed. And I think, you know, in hindsight, that's when things, when I started to realize the power of a laugh, not knowing that I would need that a whole lot later on in life. As I got married and we had three incredible kids, one of each, and suddenly my wife's health failed, and she has been on a very long battle with epilepsy. So, you know, for me to just say on the radio today, we just laugh all the time, well, it's not true. Our lives get very serious. We have thankfully seen God really heal her in a remarkable way, partly through medication, but she's doing very well now. But for many years, she wasn't. And, you know, how do you find joy in those times? That's what my books have been about, primarily, I think. I keep circling back to that. Where does the joy come from? Because for a period of time, my life got quite bitter. And I had to jump through a lot of hoops to get back on track. And, you know, what this gentleman you were just mentioning talked about is so true. The fruit of the Spirit, we list them, and joy is in there. The fruits of the Spirit, you know, we don't find prunes on that list. But often I will bump into Christians who will say, you know, to me, I had a phone call from a guy who said, Callaway, I don't much like your sense of humor. What does laughing have to do with being a Christian? We're in the last days. This is hardly a time for laughter. And I said, is that you, Dad? he didn't find that funny. But we get looking at all the wrong things, and it's when we start to look on our Savior. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore, and an incredible joy. That's one of the great notes all through the Bible when I read it, is joy. In fact, I was just reading John 15 this morning, so much about joy in there. When Jesus was just days away from the cross, He was talking to His disciples about joy. So we get to do that too.
You know, Phil, something I've been thinking a lot about, because I have a very active prayer life. Morning and night, I'm praying for my persecuted brothers and sisters, for our nation, you know, for a revival and an awakening. I care deeply about those things. But I also know God created the belly laugh. I know it. And so I feel like juxtaposed next to each other, we're living in this tension for us as Christians, even in the last days, is to know how to belly laugh and have a winsome perspective because God is on His throne, but also to carry a portion of the burden of God's heart for this world. And I think finding a way to live in that place, to me, is what makes us powerful people, because we sometimes misinterpret spirituality for, like you said, prudishness, to the point where people who are looking at us, all they see is a furrowed brow and a seriousness, and it's not inviting to them at all, you know?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. I was speaking to a ladies' weekend. It was a conference, about 500 ladies in Niagara Falls, not in the falls, but at a hotel right beside the falls. And on the Sunday morning, a gentleman came through the back doors. Now, I noticed him because he and I were the only man in the room. He came in and he sat down. After I was done speaking on bringing joy back to life, he came to me at the back. And he said, you don't know what happened here, but he said, I play in the bar band in the hotel. He said, I played till 2 a.m. this morning, and then I slept, but I couldn't sleep this morning. And I came down here to the lobby, this big, beautiful hotel, and he said, I heard all these women laughing. And he said, I couldn't believe it. What in the world are they laughing about? So he opened the door and asked a lady at the back, can I come in? And thankfully, she said, sure, come on in, sit down. And he did, and he showed me his notes. He had taken down all these scripture references and different thoughts that I'd been talking about. And he said, my parents in Boston have been praying for me since I was a teenager.
Wow.
That I would come home to God.
Hmm.
And that happened this morning.
Right.
You know, I later thought that would not have happened were it not for the incredible gift of laughter.
Indeed.
And God uses that in our lives. No wonder sometimes if we're really missing it when we go about prune-faced, because it is not a virtue. We should be known for our joy.
Oh, wow. I know Jesus was, you know. And also, fellow author, Phil, I'm picturing, I mean, I've been to plenty of writers' conferences, so I'm trying to picture, you know, different authors pitching Tricks My Dog Taught Me to an editor and agent, and I can't see it flying. I can't. And yet, I think if anybody could write this book, you could, and you did. So I want to know how your publisher responded, or maybe they had the idea, but how did Tricks My Dog Taught Me come up, and what was their initial response?
They wanted an explanation, and when I gave them one, they just went for it right like that. It, you know, it's interesting how dog books are selling in our age, and how often people will tell me. It's funny, just the last few weeks I've been speaking, when I'm out speaking, I've mentioned this dog book and have watched it fly off the back table, and people, not that nobody's throwing it, they're picking them up. But one of them just said to me the other day, he started showing me pictures of his dog on his phone, and he said, "You know what, I've got more," he said, "I just realized I've got more pictures of my dog than my kids." And I said, "Wow, you know, why is that?" I guess, you know, the dog doesn't ask for money so much. You know, the dog listens to his master. But we love our dogs. And so a friend of mine has a dog that stood by while a burglar backed up his truck and stole half the contents of this poor guy's living room. And so you probably can't learn anything from that dog, maybe kindness and servanthood, I don't know. But our dogs can teach us a whole bunch of things, and that's really what I've wanted to do, is talk about what they can teach us about life, love, and also about God, because it's startling how many things they can teach us.
You know, I got to tell you, I mentioned I have a pit bull. He's a pit boxer mix, and he's just a lover, and he thinks he's a lap dog. But whenever Kev is on the road, he scoots in closer to me. Like if I'm washing dishes, he sits down with his rump right next to me, facing out on high alert. It's like he just knows he becomes the man of the house. And it's amazing to me how he will not leave my side. And their instinct really is amazing. And so I want you to talk just a little bit about, well, let's start here. You open with a story describing a picture on your fridge drawn by your son, Jeffrey, and how your wife left it there. Talk about that story first.
Yeah. I can't remember what grade he was in. I think it might have been just his first grade in school. Came home with a picture, and you know those pictures where you're not really sure exactly what it is. Is it a tree or a lamp or a pit bull? And it was a dog under a Christmas tree with a big star on top of the Christmas tree. And at the bottom, it said, "All I want is a dag." And he got docked, I think, one mark for misspelling dog. But it took 4 years, and finally, my wife leaving it on the fridge and me seeing it there every time I was up for a midnight snack, it finally sunk in, and so we went to look for a dog. It's funny, after we got this little Maltese Shih Tzu dog, it cost us $300 or about $100 per brain cell for this little dog with crooked teeth. It was in the bargain bin. I kid you not. My Scottish ancestors would have been so proud for saving this money. But after we got this dog and brought it home, we started trying to figure out a name, and I had told our kids a story, well, many stories through the years of my own dog, my childhood dog that we had named Mojo, of, you know, Mojo the super dog, of her rescuing children in burning buildings and that kind of thing. And so that was the only option they gave me for a dog. It was Mojo. So this dog is technically Mojo the second, and it's just been an absolute delight to have in our house most of the time.
Well, your first chapter is titled, "Sometimes Love Means We're Not All There." Okay, explain what you mean on that life lesson.
That was something we used to have a little ditty we would sing in the car, something about we're not all here because we're not all there because we're not all here, or something silly the kids would say. And I started to realize that love really is crazy. So here I was in the midst of the busiest time in my life. My wife is having seizures, and the kids want a dog, and I'm going, let's do it. You know, what can we lose besides our sanity and our health? And so love is crazy. It just is. When we think of the love of Christ, it is absolutely crazy that he came and loved us like he does, that he would rather die than leave us as we are. And so I get excited about that. And this little dog has really pointed me in that direction. You know, I've written 25 books on different things, and suddenly I realize I can write one about my dog and it'll never sue me or anything. And it's safe. So here we are.
And so you got this dog who loves you unconditionally. And that's probably the most prevailing answer on the Facebook posts. All of them, loyalty, grace, unconditional love, no matter what, forgiveness, forgiveness, and more forgiveness. And so if you don't mind, we're going to play that Wren Collective band that I referenced. Got two songs lined up for them today. This first one is called Create in Me, and it's just creating me a clean heart. Do a miracle. The Lord's not finished with me yet. And I think when we look at our dogs, we can be encouraged to go, you know, the heart that they have for us, it's such a picture of really, I think, a heart God wants us to have for each other, where we almost have amnesia about offenses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if you don't mind, we're going to hear a portion of Create in Me, and then we'll come back and talk more with Phil Calloway.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Create in me a clean, clean heart. Create in me a work of art. Create in me a miracle. Something real and something beautiful. Create in me a clean, clean heart. Create in me a work of art. Create in me a miracle. Something real and something beautiful.
If you're not the person your dog thinks you are, don't give up, because he's not finished with you yet. God is not finished with you yet. Susie Larson here. This is Live the Promise, talking to Phil Calloway about lessons he learned from his dog. And this is such a great book. It's thought-provoking. It makes your belly laugh. And it's worth taking some of the life lessons Phil has learned from his dog. Here's one, Phil, that I'd love for you to unpack. Home is where my people are, and food.
Yeah. Yeah, this crazy little dog, what we discovered, one of the very first acts that once we got this dog home, it took off. Mm-hmm. It took off running. And keep in mind, this was like about an 8-inch dog. And so I kind of ambled after it to make sure it wouldn't get too far. But it was already headed home, back to its mother. And now here we are with the dog 15 years of age. Most dog books end with the death of a dog. This one doesn't. I won't give that away, did I? I just did, didn't I, Susie? But still, at 15 years of age, what we're doing with this dog is we head out on a walk almost every day north of town, and the dog is a little bit slow. And then we turn for home, and it starts to head toward home. It knows what's there. It loves it at home. It's accepted. It's loved. Its master is at home. And so, home is where the people are. Dogs are people, persons. They teach us that all over every day. We see it. From the moment this dog gets up, its eyes are on its master. It's amazing. This dog will stretch and come looking for me and pounce on me and lick me. I'm not recommending that part of it. But everything else, this dog has taught me to be an incurable optimist. It is waking up looking forward to each aspect of the day. What an incredible gift in a home when you're depressed and, you know, discouraged and all, and we wonder why we love our dogs. Not all dogs are like that. I'm not sure how your pit bull is. It wasn't a pit bull, was it?
It is a pit bull, and he's fantastic. But I want to tell you, I've raised three sons, and so we had different animals. We even had a python because one of my sons was so interested in reptiles, and I never was an animal person while I was raising my boys. I just did it for them, but I just sort of endured it, you know. And once the kids all moved out, and I heard people say, if you're not a dog person, it's because you haven't found the right dog. And we found this pup. He was 6 months old. He's a pit boxer mix at the Humane Society. I'm so incredibly in love with this dog. I can't even tell you. And so for me, that's been the truth. And it was just, you haven't found the right dog yet, because he's just, I watch his loyalty and his protectiveness and his funny sense of humor. Really, I marvel at it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to see the different things that a dog will teach you. My parents lived with us for several years until they got dementia and Alzheimer's and went down that road. But this dog, they would say over and over, this dog is such a blessing. And I came into their suite one night, and Dad was in there, 85 years old, patting this little dog. And I realized, you know what? All of us long to be patted, and I'm simply talking about the gift of encouragement. All of us listening today, each one of us can do this. Read about a guy who opened the door to get the newspaper one morning and saw a strange little dog with his newspaper in his mouth, and he laughed, and he fed the dog some treats, and the next morning the dog was sitting there surrounded by 8 newspapers. So you got to be careful with encouragement. But I was asking my Facebook friend, Susie, what is the nicest thing someone has ever said to you? And it was amazing how many comments, like when you asked this question about what your dog has taught you today. Alfie wrote, a nurse told me after she flushed my ears that I had the nicest ear canals she had ever seen. That was about, you know, a lot of them were goofy. But most of the answers were just short, like, you know, I love you, you're funny, I forgive you, thank you, I'm proud of you, and the simple word, yes. A high school teacher in 10th grade told me, keep in mind, I was a mixed up, messed up kid with my shoulders slouched because I hated school. He told me, you have a gift in the area of communication, Calloway. I want you in my communication arts class tomorrow morning. It's not too late in the semester to start. And that started me down a road of writing and speaking. And all of us need to be patted. Just a simple word can mean so much. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 12:18, as you know, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. And my wife said to me after I put that on Facebook, she said, what's the nicest thing someone ever said to you? And I said something really sappy but true. I said, well, many years ago, a girl stood at the altar and said, I do, and she did. So thanks, babe.
Thanks, babe. So that makes me want to ask the question. We've got some books off of our Faith Radio shelf to give away, but here's my question for you listening today. Was there a game-changing statement, a word of encouragement or belief someone spoke to you that meant the world to you? Just love to hear it. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. If someone spoke something to you, maybe it was a teacher, a friend, a spouse, a parent, a stranger, and it brought life to you and actually sort of inspired you to believe God, that you have more going on in your life than you realize, let us know about it. 877-933-2484. So, Phil, we got to take a break in about a minute and a half. But I want to know what your dog taught you about marriage, because I know your dog taught you about marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I, believe it or not, have not had the perfect marriage. We've been married 32 years, 32 of the best years of my wife's life. I have been such a blessing to her. I told someone the other day, it has been so cold. I don't know how your weather has been, but I said, it's been so cold. I have done little else but just stand and stare through the kitchen window. And I think if I keep doing that long enough, my wife is going to let me back into the house. And thankfully she has. But you know, if I could use one word, we only have a little bit of time left in this segment, but one word was stay. I was teaching my dog the fine art of staying, you know, come on, stay, sit and stay, you know, and all the while my wife is facing this debilitating illness. Things are not going well. She had been having seizures for years. We'd pretty much exhausted all our options medically. And a guy had said to me, Callaway, you should put her in a home and get on with life.
Wow.
This absolutely appalled me at first and then began to creep into my consciousness. People around me have run. Why don't I? And it hit me that day. Here I am teaching a dog to stay. What a profound word, stay. And I found that those who simply stay when all the world says run are often rewarded in ways they never thought possible. What a gift you can be today by just simply being faithful.
Wow, great word. Talking to Phil Callaway. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Tuning in, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Phil Callaway, funny, funny man, comedian, author, Canadian, good friend, brother in Christ. And he's written a book about lessons he's learned from his dog. Very funny stuff, but really thought-provoking as well. And one thing Phil talked about before the break was just about someone speaking life into you and believing in you when you even don't believe in yourself. I'm wondering if there's something somebody said to you that just was a light bulb moment, something you were missing about yourself, potential, that someone else spoke it to you. I would love to know. We've got books off our Faith Radio shelf we can share with you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Jesse's calling in from Burnsville. Jesse, you're on with Phil Callaway and myself. How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Good. We're doing well. You doing well, Phil?
I can't get much better than I am right now.
So, Jesse, do you have? Did someone tell you a word of encouragement over the years past?
I have, and they basically told me that God never gives up on us, therefore we should not give up on ourselves.
Very good. Do you want to speak to Jesse, Phil?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I think every one of us at times feels like giving up, Jesse. We watched our little dog at about the age of 3 drag a huge stuffed cat up 14 stairs. And it had tried for about an hour, and all of us stood at the top of the stairs cheering this dog on. And finally, that little dog mojo brought that cat up the stairs and with our applause. And I think sometimes it's good to remember that you have a God who is cheering for you, a God who absolutely loves you and applauds you. And life is tough. Don't give up. Never quit.
God bless you, Jesse. Thank you for that call, and I hope you can get the picture of a small dog hauling a big cat up the stairs. Hope that doesn't wake you up at night. Anyway, okay, here's another lesson that you learn from your dog. When you don't get what you want, roll with it. Say more, Phil.
Roll with it. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, as you know, as a dog owner, you know, they don't roll with the best of stuff.
Right.
But we, you know, here's an interesting thing that the garbage truck shows up first thing Thursday, and our dog on Wednesday nights, we couldn't find her. She would find a way to get out of the house, and I finally located her at the neighbor's. She was digging through their junk. I mean junk, you know, last week's chicken bones. You don't even want to think about what was in this. And here I am, I'm thinking, you know, a dog, how disgusting. You know, a dog is forever a dog, returning to the disgusting. And we're surprised by this, but if we're honest, we see ourselves in our dogs more often than I care to admit. I'm surprised by my own foolishness in returning to stuff that later sickens me. And what we did, we took a dried apricot, Mojo's favorite thing in all the world, and Wednesday nights we would let her, you know, have a sniff of that before she went out, and she would take out off out the door and you know, take care of business, and then rush back in, prancing wildly at the prospect of this treat that she enjoyed above anything else in the world. And, you know, I used to believe that true pleasure was found in forbidden places, in the garbage of life. I've discovered, though, that we so easily snarf up trash when a rich buffet is waiting. God has made us. He knows what brings us true pleasure. And he offers each of us here today, you know, real life, wisdom, joy, great reward. And we just need to get on board and say, yeah, I accept that, like my dog does from me. And you played the song earlier, Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God, and I think that's what made me think of that story of the garbage of life. And let's not settle for it. Let's look for something that brings us true and lasting pleasure. We were made for that.
We were made for that. I just love how you said that too, Phil, that we so easily snarf up trash when there's a buffet waiting for us. It reminds me of the Message paraphrase of one of the verses. I don't remember what the verse is, but we indulge our flesh. Meanwhile, our souls go hungry. We don't even realize how we are malnourished in the things that matter because we, you know, feed our cravings in a way that's not good for us. And so, and how about this one? Sniff out new possibilities. I like that one.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, one of the things a dog teaches you, and this dog has in 15 years, that you can grow old without growing ugly. And so you never stop learning. You can teach an old dog new tricks. 15 years of age, this dog learned the other day she has completely lost her hearing. And so what I've done is every night she comes in, and I bite apart this little apricot, and I get her to do different tricks, including jump. So I would always say, jump. Well, what do you do when the dog has lost its hearing? Well, you do hand motions, right? And so here I am, you know, I'm signing to my dog now, and she's learning it. She's good. So I, you know, raise my hands up in the air and like a good Pentecostal, and she jumps. It's fantastic. She'll do anything for apricots. But, you know, no matter what our age, I think older people listening today, don't, you know, I tell people to die young as old as they can. I think that's one of the secrets to the joy-filled life. Mm. And so whatever age you are, be sniffing out new possibilities. Be looking for new ways to be a blessing this very day.
Love that. Here's a quote from your book. Dogs are incorrigibly happy creatures. Certain breeds may not look the part, but deep down, even a pug has a happy soul. This was the first of many secrets this dog would teach me. From the first moment our eyes open, attack the day with expectancy. Talk about that, and especially for someone who maybe their tendency is to wake up on the more melancholy side.
Yeah, yeah, dog. And I'll tell you, I understand that because, you know, part of the story of this book, Tricks My Dog Taught Me, is of me going from a person at the start of the book that was depressed. That's one of the things I talk about in this book. And part of it was waking up in the morning and going, oh, no, a new day. Instead of waking up like my dog does. Mm. My dog wakes up and, you know, if it could speak, I think it would be praising God, saying, you know, thank you, God, for mercies that are new every morning. My dog is this incurable optimist. She helps me with all kinds of things in life, you know, has helped me meet new people, taught me about exercise, you know, taught me that if your dog is fat, you're probably going to need some exercise yourself. You know, just to slow down and enjoy things. Of course, dogs take that too far. They sit around and do most of nothing for days on end. But the dog has taught me to really look at life in a new way, and that is in an optimistic way, in a way that encourages others. Because this dog will come and it just sit at your feet, and it seems just eager to make you happy. That's the kind of dog we have. What if we did that? What if we did that a little more in marriage? You know, my dog teaches me to listen. Boy, that's not a bad characteristic of a happily married guy. You can really stay happily married for 250 years by listening to your wife. Let me know how that goes.
Yeah.
I'd love to know what that's like.
He's funny. Okay, one of your chapters is titled, Nothing Can Steal Your Joy Until You Give It Permission.
Hmm. Yeah, Yeah, I think that's something that every single one of us needs to remember. I have yet to meet someone, and I have met many people who are battling all sorts of things, including someone like Johnny Erickson, who I've had great opportunities to spend a bit of time with. Wow, you know, she could have absolutely, and certainly she went through such a period of despair, and she's very real, and I love that about her. But each one of us needs to realize that we can't blame the enemy for stealing our joy. We can't blame anyone else for stealing our joy. That's up to us. You know, my wife, who has dealt with such difficulties in life, we started writing out a list together of things. I said, honey, here are some things every guy loves to hear. So we were going through these things like George Clooney's got nothing on you. That's beautiful, honey. Say that again. You know, things like no problem, I understand. You know, here's the remote. Let's watch Rambo. You know, who needs a GPS? I've got you. Those are things every guy likes to hear. And I said, but, you know, what about you? So we came up with a list of things she loves to hear, you know, like fat? No way. That dress makes you look positively sleek. You know, you don't need makeup. I didn't even notice the price tag. The cell phone can wait. I want to hear more about you. So we have a lot of fun around
That's
the
great.
Home, and we've chosen to do that. Each of us can decide that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's my question for you again. Is there? You remember a time someone spoke life encouragement to you? Maybe they saw potential in you that you didn't see in yourself? We'd love to hear about that. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Dee's calling in from Hanover. I think she has a comment for you today. Phil, Dee, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's good to visit with y'all.
Yes, you too.
Here's an interesting thing, and Phil's going to remember this article, but let me give you a little bit of background. We farm here in Hanover, and we had gone through a couple years of drought, and my prayer life really kind of took off, but sometimes we get discouraged because we just wouldn't see the rain come. And I get this sermon magazine, and I always flip right to the back where Phil Calloway has this little article. And here is this article about this camp called Hidden Acres, where they had prayed for a significant need and didn't have the money, didn't see where it was coming from. And this guy came and parked his rig there and asked if they could film a little movie. It turned out to be the movie Twister. Wow. By Warner Brothers, and they pay them the exact amount that they needed to meet the significant need. And I keep this article in my Bible because it encouraged me so much about prayer and that God really does care about those kind of things. And we go to Hidden Acres every 4th of July for a conference there. So I've met Earl Taylor, the director. It's pretty cool. I don't have a dog. I've got 5 boys and 1 girl, kind of like a bunch of animals inside the house, and we have a lot of laughter at our house, and laughter
neat.
Is a great thing.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Dee. I remember
You're
writing
welcome.
That, and remember Earl and Dee Dee, and an amazing story of, you know, one of the things I've said about this dog, it teaches me to beg. A dog is very, very good at that, but literally to stay on my knees. We have encountered things in our life, and I know you have as well, in your lives, where else would we go? God is the only one who has what we need, and so we get on our knees and we don't leave until we Susie was saying earlier about her prayer life. We need to be people who pray, people who see a Gap T-shirt coming and we know what it stands for. God answers prayer, and we do it. And a little, you know, even a furry little animal can teach us to do that.
Yeah.
Dee mentioned the Servant magazine, and I'd love to give away an 800 number to give free copies out a little bit later if I'm allowed to do that.
Absolutely. We can maybe put that on our show page. Love for you, if you don't mind, you touched on this at the beginning of the show, but talking a little bit about that season of burnout that you went through and just how God led you through it and what he showed you about joy and about perspective in that time.
Yeah, I, you know, was suddenly doing too much, and many of us are doing very good things, but we're doing too many of them.
Yes.
And, you know, a dog, what they teach you, they have no need to acquire. They have no need to impress or to tweet. You don't see a dog pulling wagon loads of stuff down the street. They don't attend performance evaluations or inform others of how busy they are, which can be this badge of honor that we wear around. How are you doing? I am so busy. And we think, you know, that's the best way to be in this culture. We rush about trying to please everyone. And there came a time in my life when I made an evening habit of taking this dog out for a stroll. They say that stress contributes to 90% of known diseases in our culture. And, you know, for me, I think, Susie, the biggest help for me was to I realized that my value is not based on my performance. And I think nothing propels us to joy and peace and genuine rest like knowing that God loves us, like Jesse was saying earlier on the show, that our sins are forgiven, that nothing we do will earn our salvation or help us measure up. God accepts us. He is actually wild about us today, just the way we are, not the way we should be. So we do what we do out of deep gratitude, which leaves us traveling lighter fulfilled, you know, not fried, not frantic, but walking humbly with our master, a little more like our dogs.
And let's think about this again with the fruit of the spirits: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Joy is right up there. So the next song we're going to play, just a portion of from Wren Collective, is titled Joy. And I don't know what you're facing today. And I'll be honest, I woke up with some of that melancholiness myself just after pouring out in Canada, no less. Phil, I was in Canada this weekend for an event, and it was awesome, and God showed up in great ways. But just the weariness of my soul caught up with me this morning, and just and then my husband was almost broadsided. He got in a car accident in the snow, and he's okay. But it was just like a wake-up call, a reminder of how quickly life can change, and we can so easily coddle our bad moods and our emotions and not fight for the blessing and fight for joy. And whenever I'm in that place, I put songs like this on, and I jump around and remind myself to wrestle for the blessing. So let's listen to a portion of Wren Collective's Joy, and we'll hear more from Phil Calloway in a moment.
You're the joy, 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 light in my soul. The joy, 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 making me whole. Though I'm broken, I am running into your arms of love.
the arms of love into your arms. Hmm.
Sometimes you just have to put a joy flag in the ground. Did you hear that lyric, too,
yeah,
about the joy making me whole? Sometimes it's like we feel like we have to be wait to feel whole before we embrace joy. But I think it's the other way around. What do you say?
Oh, absolutely. Hmm. Yeah, it's a decision we make. The Apostle Paul told us to do that right in prison, he wrote, to
yeah,
be joyful always. Wow.
Wow is right.
You know, a dog teaches you to go ahead and howl. if you observe a dog for long, you really can't help but laugh.
Hmm.
And we need to. The average adult laughs 4 times a day. What in the world are we doing?
Exactly.
I posted a family picture on Facebook, Susie. It was taken last summer and out in our backyard, and it's all green and everything. One of the kids was holding our dog, and the photographer caught this dog kind of mid-grin. It looks like she is laughing. And all the comments about, we thought they were going to talk about our wonderful family, but most of the comments had to do with this dog. It looked like the dog was laughing. And,
how
you know,
perfect.
What a great gift a dog can bring. I mean, dogs just make us laugh.
Yeah.
Dogs are they bring so much joy into our life that they have employed them in hospitals now. I mean, almost literally. They're in schools, prisons, nursing homes, psychiatric wards, waiting rooms. They help with irritation, with pain, with emotional distress. They help military vets with post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, stress hormones drop for autistic children when a dog joins the family. They bring joy into our homes. And how, you know, I long for more believers in Jesus to be that way. You know, could that be said of us, that when we go into a school or a prison or a nursing home or deal with a military vet, you know, is that, are we a person of joy? We sure need to be.
We need to be, especially in this day. Well, I love this chapter title, The Good Life is Right in Front of Us When We Stop Wanting a Better One. So talk about how you learned that lesson from your dog and how we can apply it to our lives.
I learned it, I think, Susie, when I started to realize that my dog was teaching me to chase the right stuff. I noticed this, you know, when you see a dog chasing its tail or a parked car, but we learn that we should probably not be chasing those things. But, you know, dogs enter life helpless and penniless, and we do too. But a dog doesn't spend his entire life acquiring possessions so he can impress others and leave stuff behind for those who didn't earn it. He may bury the odd bone, but you'll never see a dog featured on a TV show about hoarders. These dogs, they have no need to acquire, and they simply need to eat and to sleep and to love and be loved and to sit at the feet of their master. And I'm not suggesting laziness, but I've come to see that it's a great gift to perform meaningful work, to serve others, to show mercy, to live generously. And we can do this, you know, here's one caution, we can miss the most important thing, and that is sitting at the feet of our master, literally sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it took me time, you mentioned our burnout later, to stop running so fast and take time for him. And that's when I found he's the only one strong enough to rescue me from the pull of these other things around me, from the pull of busyness. And fatigue and stress are unavoidable. But at the root of so much of our running is pride. And the way to start hacking at that root is to develop a habit of daily time spent with God in the Bible and in prayer. And that's what, you know, when I think of sitting at the feet of our master. So sometimes we just need to learn to turn around 3 times and lie down at the feet of our master.
Turn around 3 times and lie down at the feet of our master. Love that. We just got a couple minutes left, so I got probably a couple more questions for you. Here's one. Bury the right things. What do you say?
Mm. That is all about forgiveness.
Mm.
You know, I came around the corner and I accidentally kicked my dog. I just banged right into my dog. And you have a dog, so you know what they do. And they jump back and they're a little startled. And then they look at us, and it's this look of, what happened? And as soon as I bend over and I'm sorry, this dog is all over me, jumping me. They are so quick to forgive. Right in the midst of writing this thing, I had an ATV accident. I was on a quad, and a friend of mine was driving and made a dreadful mistake. He took a turn, and we went over well, down a cliff.
Whoa.
And I probably shouldn't have lived to tell about it. You know, we flipped the thing, by which I do not mean we sold it for a profit, but here we were. And thankfully, we both lived to tell about it. But I began to realize, because my rib cage was torn so badly, that I was getting bitter. And this guy called me one Sunday afternoon. My golf game was ruined for the summer. I couldn't golf. And I had this sense of when he called me, oh, no, I saw it was him. And he said, Phil, would you forgive me? And I thought, no, I don't want to. You know, it's fun to hold on to bitterness. And I realized I know exactly what I need to do. Two things. And the first is say yes. I forgive you. I said to him, you know, I called him by name. I said, I have done so many dumb things myself. Of course I forgive you. And we are good friends now. The second thing was to turn it into thanksgiving. Every day, that is how we will bring joy to life, to look back with thanksgiving, look around with grace, and look forward with hope. But when we do this, everything changes, because thanksgiving makes us mindful of what we have, not what we don't have. But to realize, yeah, my golf game is shot for the summer. Who cares, really, in the grand scheme of things? So many in our world are suffering so much. Let's give thanks, and each of us can do that today.
Wow. Well, Phil, I appreciate the time. And again, as I mentioned, this topic is a bit off the beaten trail, but it was still worth just venturing and having some fun laughing, but also really being thoughtful about the ways that God shows us his love, gives us all good gifts to enjoy. As we wrap up, I'm thinking of that person, Phil, who's in the place you were before, that burnout kind of place of discouragement, maybe a little melancholy. Would you pray for that person today?
Yeah. Lord, we come together before you to ask for those dear listeners who are struggling today, whatever it is, you know, and we thank you, number one, that you are with them, that you will never leave them, that you'll never forsake them. We ask that they would turn to you in this, and even this they would turn into thanksgiving. Thank you for the joy that you bring us, dear Lord, and we commit ourselves to walking with you all the way home until that day that we truly are at the feet of our Master and celebrate all that you've done in our lives. Go with us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to read this passage from Psalm 23 here, Message paraphrase. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You've bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even though when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of my God for the rest of my life. Phil, thank you for this time today. It's been very precious. God bless you, dear brother.
Thank you so much, Susie.
Good to chat with you.
Created me a clean, clean heart. Create in me a work of art. Create in me a miracle. Something real and something beautiful.
You've been listening to Hour 1 of Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and in just a little bit, you can find a podcast of today's show with Phil Calloway up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, in-studio singer-songwriter, worship pastor Ryan Williams joins me. You're in for a treat. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to have a great time. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.